health conditions as well. She has to take heart medication, but she is just fine. So they are over hiking this. My father did not die of COVID. He had a massive heart attack.
The stress alone would be enough to do him in, believe me, for an 85-year-old.
He had been saying his legs were hurting him. I said to my brother, you know what? They're not walking. They're just sedentary. You need to get him out in the backyard. Get him to, you know, out into the sunshine, have him walk around the backyard. I have a younger cousin than me, and he had developed blood clots in his legs when he had taken a long airline flight. You know, it can happen. And they were sedentary, no longer walking. They were confined to their
quarters. Probably developed some clots and from the lack of movement. I think that's correct. Yep.
Yes.
Well, anyway, just send me the email.
Thank you for telling us that story. Yeah. It was very helpful.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You know, in my father's case, now, he was, quote, free of cancer. He didn't die from cancer. He died from the effects of chemotherapy poisoning. So what do they do? On the statistics, they'll say he was cancer-free. You see, just the exact opposite.
They won't put that it was a chemotherapy deal. She just... memorializes the issue. You cannot take somebody elderly and abuse them and beat them in so many words and then look, he probably did develop blood clots that took his life. So, and she was concerned all along about the pressure on him, and that's it's obvious.
Post-heart surgery problems.
They're high risk.
I don't think we have the break kick in, so let's see if we can squeeze Barb in here now. Barb, come on up quickly. Barb, are you there?
Hi, gentlemen.
Yes,
hi.
You were talking about Fort Dix, Dr. K. My brother-in-law was in the Army, and he worked at Fort Dix after he left, and he ended up dying of Parkinson's.
Well, the vaccines probably got him.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But I did hear you on Dr. Bob Marshall's program. We get it.
Bob Martin. I'll be on tomorrow, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, terrific. But anyway, we need some T-shirts, gentlemen. Stop medical tyranny.
Let's go about makeup. We're making some in my state, and we have this governator here, and we're going to do a nice little number on her, and so maybe we can make generic shirts, and we can advertise them at the same time, put on the protocol of the oil of oregano, and we can do the oregano. And the
It's definitely the case that medicine is completely mismanaging this situation. Tyranny and incompetence, both, you know. It's...
The oregano, and it's great.
All right.
T-73.
No, you'll be good.
For you, Bob.
Very happy.
And listen, if you would like to participate, you know somebody who does have it, fine. You give them you send an email to Dr. K and let him know. And then you can get a kit for them, okay? Those of you
will
overseas...
Will do. Yeah, I have the American Legion Auxiliary. I'll send it out.
Yeah, if you can get some cases, and then you can distribute it to them, that would be good. And they'll be, fill out the seminar.
They just have to keep the forms. Fill out the form, the diary, and then send it back in, because we want to be able to make them part of the statistical evidence, okay?
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye.
Appreciate it, ma'am. All right. Well, Dr. K, I think we have sufficiently stimulated people's visceral juices again.
Okay.
And hopefully we can keep...
And plus people will get recovery. Okay, well, nice to talk to you. Bye-bye.
Very good. Thank you, brother. Okay. All right, folks. Bye-bye. Dr. Kasim Khalil, Cass Ingram, and we are going to continue with the program. You know... In my state, I don't know if I should play this or not, but I want to get into so many things. But in our local community, I mentioned this Governor Gina Raimondo, and her name is Raimondo. Mondo means world in Italian, and she is a woman of the world. She is certainly very prolific at creating global politics, global slamdemics, and various and sundry other ways of keeping us dependent on government. Well, she has overreached in this state, in my state of Rhode Island. She has basically put her foot down on everyone's throat and decided that she was going to be czar of the state for imposing a stay-at-home martial law type of scenario. Not a total lockdown, but a near lockdown. And, of course, there's been widespread disobedience to it. And most of the now communities are starting to get very antsy because of the weather. Today it's a pretty warm day. Yesterday it hit about 80 for a while up here in New England, and that's pretty much cabin fever time. So now she has just made her daily brief yesterday. She's not making them this weekend, but she gets before the media and parades before a handful of people, and then she tells us that what she's going to do is delay the deadline for her various phases of beginning to get back to a state of old normalcy, if you will, the normal routine of things, phase one, phase two, phase three. Well, instead of being a couple of weeks, now it's going to be a month. Well, before you know it, it'll be the end of the year, and things will still not be functional. Now, by that time, as you know, within 2 quarters, 6 months of a business cycle, things get pretty bad. And with the seasonal adjustment for, you know, the businesses that either rise or fall on seasonal business, it's going to be all over. So we're going to have a much more massive problem on our hands than we could ever have imagined happening, in my estimation. Now, we have a budget of over $10.2 billion in the smallest state in the whole union. And now they're talking already over $800 to $850 million shortfall. So that in itself is an indication of what is to come, folks. I see it a small scale here in my state of what is already happening nationwide and worldwide leading up to the book of Daniel, and we're going to go right into the book of Ezekiel. So we're finding the razor of taxes is coming. We're finding economic destitution, as I call it, you know, destitution. And we're going to have some major issues. So we've got, in this state, we have now a couple of communities who say the police departments don't want to enforce any state mandates. The latest of them, of course, is in Narragansett, which is house to the state's largest beach, Scarborough. And they're already saying they've got a resolution now prepackaged for Monday night. They're going to vote on it. And it's a resolution that basically says we will not have our local police department enforce these state mandates. So the battle rages, the battle is on, and we're going to have some confrontations. I have raised the question, will there be a Kent State opportunity or moment in my neck of the woods? Will somebody wind up getting shot? Will the National Guard or maybe the police get a little trigger happy because of some incident that may be provoked? And then what will that usher in? So it's very, very interesting, very timely. But see, the way I judge things, the way I'm seeing people as they're going about their daily business, traffic is beginning to get much heavier again. People, because of the warm weather now, are acting as if, hey, it's all over. Things are going to be opening up again. Yippee, happy days are here again. Well, don't buy it. Don't believe it. Already COVID-19-2 is already being thrust on the scene with children who are now being infected with these respiratory diseases. I said it 2 weeks ago. Some of my listeners picked up on it and said, Rick, you're right. You're right. This is going to morph into phase two of another disease, another pandemic, another epidemic, and all of it lining up worldwide to be the new Nazi threat to the world. Oh, by the way, the anti-Semitism bill has now passed the Senate, the United States Senate, which it already had the House in January, and Mr. Trump is expected to sign it. And, of course, this will elevate to the highest possible level of prosecution anti-Semitism as it is called, okay? And that simply means to react to the force and extortion and blackmail of the synagogue of Satan. That's all that means, okay? That's what it means in a nutshell. So we are moving full speed ahead, regardless of the latest propaganda concerning all of what we have regarding the COVID-19 massive swindle. Now it's time to up the ante with Iran. It's time to up the ante with Korea. And it's time to up the ante with China, Red China, which, of course, owes its very existence to the United States government to begin with. So we know that prophecy has unfolded, and the greatest prophecy is yet to come with China, Russia, and with the United States caught in the middle. Very, very interesting. Esau and Cain, his seed line, and Jacob. So America, Jacob, Israel, versus the others. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens in addition to all that is happening. Folks, the best is not yet to come. Not yet. The best will come when the end of this age comes. As the scriptures plainly teach, he will come on a white horse. Satan will. And Jesus will come on the whitest of horses. So he's going to come and take them down. But, you know, I've got to tell you a story. First of all, I did the program this week, the interview with Andrew Carrington Hitchcock on ACH.com. I think perhaps it was the best hour that I have ever done, ever done with an interview. I really let the Spirit lead and let the Lord lead. And I'm going to tell you, I was very pleased myself with the way it came out because I really tried to leave myself out of it. I try to leave myself out of everything, folks, and just go right into a focus on God. And I did. And I have to relate this to my audience. In case you don't go to hear the program that's already up online now on AndrewCarringtonHitchcock.com, the interview with Rick Adams this past week. I want to tell you, Monday, and I know we're going to be interrupted by the break, you know, but we'll just continue after the break. I have so much to tell you. Monday, I lost my wallet. I was doing clothes, and I happened to put on this pair of jean shorts, and they were all ripped up, and they were a mess. And I shouldn't have even kept them as many years as I did. But stupidly, of course, I put them on. And, you know, I do what I do best. I do these stupid things. So put them on, had my wallet, my keys and everything, and just throw them in the pocket. Well, I had to go to a small market around the corner from my domicile, and I did. And I came out, got in the car, and then I wanted to go around the corner to see my friends in and out, you know, at the coffee shop. So I went there, and I just had gotten out of the car. And the next thing I know, I couldn't find my wallet. It wasn't in my pocket. And me, with my vision, you know, sometimes it's kind of cloudy and so forth. I'm looking in the seat, the floor, everywhere in the car. And lo and behold, I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. I said, oh, here it comes again. Oh, me, oh, my. What'd I do? I got back in the car and no license, of course, went down the street to the market and retraced my steps, right? And I said, let me see if I can find it here. Sure enough, there was nothing there. No wallet, no nothing. I didn't even find anybody else's wallet. Well, I went back in the market and I asked. They said, nobody turned anything in. No, nothing was found. And I said, I'm sure I must have left it there. It fell out and probably somebody picked it up and undoubtedly picked it up and kept it. I only had like $45 in it, that's all. And it was my cards, my license, and everything that was important to me, not the money. So I went back to the house, and I resigned myself to the notion that I was going to have to start replicating everything. My license, my credit card, which I only had one, and my medical insurance, everything that I need, all the major cards. That is the pain of it, of losing your wallet, not the cash. So I started to go online and fill out my license with the state and everything. You can hardly get anybody, as we know, on the phones. But I did get one person for health insurance, so that was easy. Anyway, I started to fill it out, and then I was getting pretty tired. And I said, oh, boy. I said, let me just go and pray. And let me, first thing I do all the time, every day, is pray. And so I went this time with a heavy heart. And I went to the Lord, and I used the anointing of the olive oil, put it on my forehead, and rubbed it, and, you know, just anointed myself with prayer. And I really was contrite, and I said, Lord, please let somebody find it who turns it in. Please let it turn up, because, as you know, I don't need any more problems. And I really did. I really went before the Lord, and it was a very serious thing. So anyway, I went, you know, retired for the night, and the next day, my brother called me and left a message and said, somebody found your wallet, and it's all there, and they turned it into the coffee shop. So anyway, I couldn't believe what I heard. So I went to the shop, and it was somebody who knew me, they said, and they picked it up, found it, and brought it in, and I was thrilled. I was absolutely ecstatic about it, and says, thank you, dear Father. Thank you. And I went in, and I gave the girl $20. I said, just for helping get my wallet back, I want you to keep the 20. And she didn't want it. She took it. I said, take it, because it would be a blessing to me. And so I did that. Then I said, who was it that turned the wallet in? And she said, I don't know his name, but he's kind of like a dark-complected guy, sort of like olive, you know, skin and so forth. So I said, all right, well, okay, I'll find out. I'll find out who it is. So another, you know, one of the staff came up to me and said, oh, it's that fellow that is the landscaper. I said, you mean the guy with the truck that always parks in the way, and I start to scream and yell and say, what is he doing there? I'm trying to get by. That's the one. I said, well, that's Vincent. His name is Vincenzo, and he comes from Italy. And sure enough, apparently it was him. So, you know, you have a lot of good conversations. He's a good guy, very good guy. He's a lovely wife and family. So next day I went in. I said, I've got to give him a gift card. Gave him $15 and so forth, and he did get it the following day and said he didn't want it. You know, he didn't think it was right. He did it just because it was right to do. But I said, that's fine. Let him keep it. I said, the point here that I'm trying to make, folks, I think I did it much better on Andrew's show, was that God does hear and answer prayers. It could have gone the other way, and I was resigned to the idea that just maybe I'm not meant to find it. Maybe I need to do this because maybe God is saying, look, you better shape up or ship out. You need to do common sense things to take care of yourself and do the things that you just think carelessly about. So I said, regardless of the outcome, I will accept it from the Lord. Well, fortunately, the Lord was gracious enough to do for me what I had asked him to do. And coincidentally, the same day, on one of the auction sites, I sold an item that was just about $44. And that's how I make some money. And I said, it's the same amount almost that I had in my wallet. So either way, it's a double win. So I really, really was grateful to the Father, and it's a message for you, as I expressed on Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's program. Folks, it's not about us, but it's about him, and that whenever, ever you have a problem, you know, as Father O'Malley used to say, you can always dial O for O'Malley, Bing Crosby in that role. And, you know, I say you can always dial G for God, Yahweh, Y, Yahshua, because he is there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have to call anybody else. You don't have to go to a minister or priest or friend. You go directly to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. And I did, and I really was very thrilled that he thought so much of me and us, that he would do that. Because what if it hadn't been this fellow, Vincent? What if it had been somebody else, especially at these times when people are desperate to pocket whatever they have, cards, money, even if it's $10, they'll take it. And, you know, I said, no, it didn't happen that way. It happened just as I had asked Heavenly Father to do it. And so I was grateful. I really was grateful, and I can't thank him enough. And you should be the same. That when things don't go maybe the way you want them to, maybe there is a beckoning call. God is trying to draw us closer and closer to him, not farther away. And that's the point, is that he is your Heavenly Father. And he's there 24/7. When you have an issue, you have a problem, don't turn away. We'll come right back, folks, with more.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. So you heard the rest of the story, as I say. I had to give this testimony because it just goes to prove that with all the problems that I have, that you have, that all of us has every day, you know, they really pale in comparison to problems that others are having now. But nevertheless, you know, I mean, I feel that angel, that sense of protection around me when I'm here and about. And, you know, as I said, I have prolific diabetic retinopathy for years, a few years, and yet I was spared the loss of vision in both eyes. But I still do not see as I used to. It doesn't matter. Paul the Apostle was never healed of his loss of vision totally. And God kept him humble that way. And I think that's the key. I was, healed from massive heart problems and from cancer just a few years ago, and thanks largely to the efforts of Dr. K. Very happy about that. So my point, again, is to try to give him as much praise as he deserves, because as I've told Andy on the program, we're not worthy of anything, okay? We're not even worthy to be alive, because all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God, the glory of God that we cannot see him in a flesh body, or we would just burn up. Our skin, our face, everything would melt if we would look directly at the Father. You know, it's just an overpowering sense of fire, because he is a burning fire. And you know, it says that in the scriptures. And, you know, You don't want to anger him. You don't want to deliberately try to do things to hurt him. And this is why, you know, I say there are people who sin and who have a rough life. All of our people, the true people of true Israel, over the centuries and millennia, as you know, have always been very sinful people. They've always been very wicked people. They have always fallen back and forth into disobedience, into sin, and therefore into captivity. And when they did, they came out of it eventually because they repented. And, you know, I remember just a couple of, let's see, it was about 7 months ago. I went to the post office in Providence, and it was a windy day. And I had a form, a customs form, I had to fill out. And that's a pain in the neck, a customs form for something to ship overseas. Well, don't you know that I was going in, and I got a little disgusted because the wind took it out of my hand and blew it way down the other side of the parking lot. I went in, mailed the other things I had, and then came out. And you're not going to believe this, but it's true. That form wound up blowing all the way back to just where I was walking out of the exit entrance path, and it was sitting there waiting for me. Unbelievable. God's honest truth. It came all the way back there. And I thank God. I said, my goodness, nobody would believe this, I said. Nobody, they'd say it's impossible. It happened. And that's the kind of thing that I give thanks for every day, for those blessings. Sometimes they're not big, they're little, but they all add up. And, you know, I'm only telling you, my audience, this as a personal note about me, because I'm trying to help people who need encouragement, who really get down, who really get sorrow, and who really get, depressed at times because they really are bombarded with all of these anti-Christian, anti-God messages day in and day out. And they really don't have leadership in any of the churches to tell them who to turn to and how to turn to your Heavenly Father, okay? So I want to tell you, man, it is so comforting and so heartwarming to know that. Yeah, we sin. Of course we do. You know, I mean, look, I always tell, Paul said he was among the chiefest of sinners. He was terrible. And yet God said he chose him. He chose him as he did Jeremiah when he knew him in his mother's belly. He already knew his heart was good. But he had been misled and he had been taught hatred by the scribes and the Pharisees and the council that he was a part of. We know who was leading on those on the Sanhedrin council. And we know what they wanted to do to the Lord, and they did it. So, you know, we go back and forth with COVID, and we go back and forth with all of the other challenges we have, and there'll be new ones, but do not let them get you down. Do not let them take you down. I think of when Peter, you know, the Apostle Peter said to Jesus, he walked with him, and he said, Lord, I will lay down my life for you. That's kind of an immodest boast. And Jesus immediately said to him, you, Peter, will lie down, you will lay down your life for me? And he said, by the time the cock crows three times, you will have denied me. You know, you will have denied me three times. You're going to serve me and save my life? It's the other way around. So, of course, he went out and he wept and he cursed himself bitterly. See, we can't do anything to please the Father. Nothing. Now, I know there are lily white sinners. You know, they're not these wicked sinners and committed all kinds of abominations and so forth. But the lily white sinner is just as much a sinner as the abominable sinner. Okay? Just as much a sinner. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The gift of God, however, is eternal life. Think about what they did to Jesus Christ. Nobody but the Kenites, the sons and daughters of the wicked one, wanted him dead. They wanted him murdered on that cross. Pilate himself said, I find no fault worthy of death in this man. And then he looked at Barabbas, and he looked at them, and made a choice and says, who do you want? He give us Barabbas to release the prisoner. And then Pilate said unto the big, fat, portly Kenite, he said to him, what then? shall I do with this Jesus? And he said, let him be crucified. You know, in the 1926 King of Kings by Cecil B. DeMille, the silent version, they have such a great, outstanding characterization. He's big and ugly and fat, and he looks just like I guess you could say, Harvey Weinstein, you know? And he's right there, poised to tell Pilate what to do, and he whispers with that detestable look, crucify him, crucify him. See, that is the kind of hatred that is disguised as righteousness. And God said, you know, the day of judgment will come. And when it comes, it's going to be more tolerable for the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you, O you high priests of evil, because that day will come, and the wrath of God will come too. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, he knows their hearts, that's why. But the Israelite people today are just plain, ordinary, stupid sinners. And let's face it, our people are pretty stupid, as you know. They always, always, always fall into disobedience, as they did from the moment they came out of Egypt right down to the present. Always, always, always rejecting God's love, God's plan for them, and not believing that God can do it, you know? Not believing that God can carry them. He can carry them all the way through their journey. Doesn't matter how bad the road gets. Question is, do you have the kind of faith that God can do it, or are you a little shaky? Well, I've learned in the last several years to find that faith that says, I don't care what happens, and neither should you. Especially if you're chosen of God in these last days to be a witness against the man of sin, Antichrist, when he comes to sit in the temple in Jerusalem to bring peace to the world, and most of all, safety, like the COVID safety crats. We want you to be safe, above all. Not well, not feeling good, not healthy, but safe. Now that should be a wake-up sign to everyone, folks. Peace and safety. We're being conditioned now to accept that inevitability. So should we really, as individuals who feel we are drawing closer to the Lord every day, should we fear? No. It's going to get a lot worse. And God says in his word that unless those days had been shortened, the days of tribulation and the reign of Antichrist in Revelation chapter 9, unless those days had been shortened, there would no flesh be saved alive. Even the very elect of God who have the seal in their minds would be deceived. Can you imagine? What kind of deception can this be, folks? What kind of lie? People believe all of the deep state circusry that's going on now. Now, it's Trump versus Hillary. No, it's Hillary versus Trump. It's the DNC versus the Republicans. No, my friends, it is Satan one and his children versus all of humanity, especially his children, his own children from that seed line, all the way from Adam right down to this generation. They have been the most deceived, the most assaulted, and the most hated, because they are a chosen people, people of God, that he said he made a covenant with, that they would never keep, because they can't keep it. But he keeps his word. And that's the important thing. God never fails to keep his word. We do, and we should be ashamed, but we repent of it. And when we repent, it's like it, you know, it's like it's all over, like nothing happened. He can forgive all sin. The only sin he cannot forgive is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter what the sin is, it is forgivable. So let us remind people, because Paul had a very guilty conscience. He had a very, very bad time with guilt, and he had a hard time dealing with it. But Paul also taught us, you know, to be good to all men, even those who are not good, because he said, and we know that the rain falls upon the just as well as the unjust, and the sun is made to shine on the unrighteous, you know, just as well as the righteous. God and he alone is the only judge in the end of who makes it and who doesn't. And how do they know how they're going to make it? Do they want Satan or do they want Jesus? There's a very simple choice. Once this millennial rule of Christ begins, and it comes, starting for 1,000 years, when Satan is bound up, there is not going to be any excuse for people not to know who Christ is and what he can do for them. No excuse. See, God is always fair. He is always just and righteous, and he knows that most people are just not able to understand the nature of the beast unless they have that seal in their minds, okay? They're not going to wonder, how can you fight against spiritual wickedness? Paul did, but he was able to. You see, he had the breastplate of righteousness. He had the buckler, the shield on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, folks. These armies of this world, they're nothing, but against powers and principalities in high places, very high places. And he meant Satan himself and the sons and daughters of the wicked one. So, they're always up to evil. Like Henry Ford said, it's not that they set out to do evil. They don't get up in the morning and say, let's do this, let's do that. It comes naturally. It's part of that DNA of the wicked. And God knows who they are, and he knows how to deal with them, and we should not fear them, but we should project our truth onto them and let the chips fall where they may. You see, there's this Jewish guy I see all the time. He's in the little restaurant in Rhode Island. We go in the morning, maybe have breakfast. And, you know, he really, you wouldn't know it. His name is Horowitz. You wouldn't know he's Jewish. I mean, he mingles in with everybody. He's a very down-to-earth, decent guy. I mean, he doesn't even have, like, any ideological stripes or what have you for Israel or anything. But the one thing I notice about him is he's always talking about money. He's always talking about how many houses he owns, how many possessions he has, what's the market going to be today, and what's going to be tomorrow. And that's what I would expect from him. I don't expect anything else. You know, I mean, the average person does not think that way, preoccupied with and obsessed with money and materialism. But otherwise, you know, you'd never know. He doesn't have the look. He doesn't have all of the features. And he's not overtly arrogant. So, you know, I say these things are very, very deceitful. You never know. But know one thing, that there are common characteristics in all of that feline that you will find throughout the ages, okay? Merchant of Venice or what have you, but it's there. So I didn't want to be long-winded. I didn't want to talk so much, but I did want to convey my blessing from God to you and just to give thanks to him and show you just how wonderful he is. And he's always there 24/7 when we need him. So if you have any comments, you'd like to make a call or just a little comment on today's show so far, add anything new, please do it quickly. Don't wait until the end of the show or we might not get to you. You can dial us at 800-313-9443. Now, along these lines, the bishop of the Catholic Church of Rhode Island, he has come out now and finally said that he's a little displeased that there has been this lockdown on the religious institutions. And the fact that all of this, this shutdown, this shuttering down of the churches has taken place. And he raised the question in his tweet to everyone, since Rhode Island was founded by Roger Williams, who escaped Massachusetts to worship Christ here, what would Roger Williams think if he were here today? And I think the question is a very, valid one. He raised an excellent question. And can we think of an answer? I think we can. We need to understand that Roger Williams was a man of impeccable faith in God, in Christ. And he did not fear anything but God. He created a state not of separation of church and state, but one where men and women could come here to worship God as they saw fit. To worship God and be free to practice their conscience and not be bound. He was what they call a thinker, a free thinker, a seeker. And that's what he did. He sought the truth and he created an independent colony. And that's how it got started. Now, 180-degree turn. We have this woman, this woman who basically is installed by God, because we read that in Isaiah 3, 4, and 5, you know, that God sends us children, or fools to be exact, when we need princes to rule over us. And, you know, she is a fool, and she is a dictator, and she is arrogant. She is all of these things. But remember, God put her in control in that seat for a reason. As I said in opening the program, is that he's in control of the bad and the good. We had a judge, a federal judge, who was petitioned by this nice little Italian family, if you know what I mean, the Wiseman. They were petitioned, the court, because some preacher got up at one of the junior high school graduation exercises and mentioned that he was going to pray in the name of Jesus, and they took offense at that. But they waited until a rabbi did it, so that the rabbi did it at another exercise. And then, to make it look like they weren't picking on Christianity, they petitioned the court. And the stupid judge, Legur, a federal judge, ruled. I'm sorry, it wasn't Legur, but it was another judge who ruled that they were right. No more graduation exercises invoking the name of anybody, any religion whatsoever. So we threw Christ and we threw God out of the schools. Now, what has been the result? Hasn't been very pretty, has it? Nope. We have to pay for that. In another case, it was Judge Legur, a federal judge, who was petitioned by this nice little atheist girl, Alquist, who petitioned the court to remove a banner. That was a prayer banner, which was not even donated as a prayer, but it was donated as a reward, if you will, as a gift from a particular class of that school to the school as a reminder that they were the class of 1972 or whatever it was. It was a banner. It was a mural. And it was put on the wall as a reminder of that class, of that class. Nothing more, nothing less. It wasn't a prayer that you had to say or that anyone had to acknowledge. And the federal judge was petitioned by this family, the Alquist family, admitted atheist. The judge said, you're right. Can't be there. We've got to take it down. And I'll tell you, the result of that was enragement on the part even of the students. That was a gift to them. That was a gift to their school, from that class. And some dumb judge, following orders from the top of the illegally arrogated Supreme Court, said, we're going to take it down. In the middle of the night, they took it down. They couldn't even do it in the day, you see. Quietly removed it, because they knew that the anger was steaming. And, you know, as a result of that decision, some people actually came closer to Christ and were saved. Others also did a little civics research and started educating themselves on the issues. Meantime, the wicked ones moved on to other areas to continue to metastasize the spread of their virus, of hatred and intolerance. But see, God was glorified in the end. So he uses all of these things. All right, let me go to the phones. 800-313-9443. I'm just looking at a screen here. 800-313-9443. All right, John in Little Rock, Arkansas. Hello, John.
Shalom, Mikhail.
Shalom, Malachim.
Hey, Rick, I got two topics right quick. Coronavirus and Congresswoman AOC. Okay. I just got out of the hospital last Friday at the VA hospital, Little Rock. I had a diabetic bowel obstruction.
Okay.
And they had to drain me out. Yeah, they had to drain me out, man. And check this out. I've been in the hospital all week with people coughing and gagging all around me.
Uh-huh.
And hospital was ground zero for coronavirus, right?
Yeah.
The nurses on every floor are locked in. They cannot go out for a cigarette break or anything. The only people that can come in is maybe the supervisor and the janitors and people that bring the food. The nurses have to wear masks. The patients do not. And I got video I can send you, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm breathing an exercise tube. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not wearing a mask, period.
Mm.
So I'm beginning to think something. I'm beginning to think that's a hoax. Now, the person said, did they test you for the virus? I said, no. What they did do was check my temperature every hour on the hour.
Yep, yep. That's great.
So I'm beginning to smell a rat.
Mmm. Well, there's a lot of rats over there to smell, that's for sure, in the VA, especially.
Well, they did not. Well, they did not stick a probe up my nose, which I did not like, but they never did it.
Yeah. I hear you. So, I hear you.
What do you think?
Oh, that's quite a story. I think that's a good example.
I'll send you a video.
There and help. You're a survivor, aren't you, huh?
The Lord, Rick, looking up. Now, my second one, real quick, I know other people go. AOC said that illegal immigrants deserve to get some of that stimulus money because they pay taxes. What part of the Constitution this woman do not understand? What part of the regulations of federal law she do not understand?
I don't know. I mean, it's arrogance, you see. The illegals can come, but the legals, those who have worked and been born here and they're American citizens, you cannot leave your house. But they want to let all of the illegals out of these detention centers because one or two of them might have corona. I think that's fair, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was in a hospital for a whole week from Sunday to Friday.
Yeah.
A tube in my nose. Oh. People are coughing and gagging everywhere.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible.
Dr. K there?
No, he's gone. He's gone.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, and I just want to give you a full report and check the email.
Well, it's good that you're still with us. Here you are, all these years and all these months, and you've been through hell and back, and so here you are, a good testimony yourself. You're here for a reason, John. You're
only by his grace.
Battle, huh?
Only by his grace. Subject
to
replication at any time.
That's right, brother. That's right. And thank you. Thank you for letting us know this, John.
Well, check your email.
Sure, I will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You take care now. God bless. All right.
All right.
And, you know, folks, by the way, before I get to the next call, Terry, I wanted to mention this story that has made news nationally, and it not too much in the mainstream media, but it seems as if in Maine, there's a Maine trooper who has charged the police illegally. He's gone to court. He's charged that the police in the state illegally surveilled U.S. camp, that is an American camp, by Israel for Israel. And they were Arab teens. And they were people from Maine, citizens of Maine, who were meeting at this camp. This goes back to, I think, 2011, when Governor LePage, the conservative, was governor, and the Attorney General Mills, who's now the governor, took place. And I guess the ACLU and some of the gun owners now were being surveillanced outside their cars. The licenses were being taken down illegally by the state troopers. One has come forth now. It's a federal lawsuit. They've joined in on this suit against the state police for illegally gathering and for storing the intelligence information on behalf of the state of Israel. Isn't that nice, huh? Now, the federal law says within 24 hours you have to destroy it. You have to destroy whatever intel you've gathered that is not part of any criminal investigation or anything like that. So this is going to be very interesting. Everybody's running for cover saying, well, let the courts decide and we'll see what comes of it. And I didn't know about it and I had nothing to do with it, including LePage and including Mills and all of them. So it's going to be interesting because, again, this points out that this little tiny, poor, innocent, defenseless state has its claws all over our people and our nation. You understand? Okay. All right, let's see if I can grab Terry in Texas now. Hello, Terry. Come up on the program.
Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Just not enough time as I see everything unfolding before my very eyes.
Well, hold your thoughts, gather them, and see if you can encapsulate a couple when we come back, all right?
I will.
You stay right there, folks. Rick Adams, Uncensored. Facebook page, and of course, you can go to our chatango.com. That's deadlyexperiment.chatango.com. Be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we are back with Terry in Texas. Hello, Terry. Get right back to the phone.
Yeah, Rick, you know, the wickedness, the evil being perpetrated on us at propaganda levels is just beyond comprehension. I go to the post office at least 2 times a week, hold up now, and they got a big banner sign up here that says, "Heroes work here." At the post office. And underneath it, it says, "Thank you and be safe." And when, if you really examine this, if you, you know, if you've got discernment from God, that all flows from the same group of people, in the sense of that narrative that was given to us 20, you know, you never used to hear about heroes. Everybody's a hero. Because what it does, it puts them above, right? When you do the diversity and the intolerance and the bully and the racism, that hero's narrative is all part of that same dovetail. So that means that they're above criticism now. And so that's all working towards, you know, the worship of man, towards this Antichrist that will be a hero.
He'll be above criticism. I see that. True.
And then then the other comment about humility, I'll keep it short, you know, the next thought that came to me when you were telling me was that story in Matthew 7 about the two foundations. And talk about producing humility. As you stand here, as we see the flood, as the rain and the flood descending on, everybody being swept out to sea, and I'm standing on the rock, it just makes you feel makes you feel really humble, Rick, and also makes you just like weep within when you see where it's just a flood. It's just, I mean, the rain, people are just being swept out to sea. And they have no idea what's taking place. And we're sitting here on the rock watching it all unfold.
And they're going to give thanks to Trump. They're going to give thanks to, our spirit of freedom. But they're not going to give thanks to the Father, mostly. He's the one that is the only anchor in these times. And he says in Hosea, you know, and he says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, you come back to me, I will heal your land. What's wrong with that? See, they don't have their values placed properly, you see?
But they wouldn't have that perspective or discernment unless they're, you know, life, thank God he's got us established on rock and you open my eyes to see all this. Otherwise, we would be, you know, swept out to sea too, Rick.
Sure. That's right. Amen.
So, yeah, the whole hero narrative, I'm just so sick of the hero narrative. You can know it's an agenda when you're hearing it. I mean, it's just...
I get you, clearly. It's like, save the earth. Thank you for doing your part. You're a good soldier. Let's go over to war now. Go over and fight our brothers and kill them. Good job. You know, it's the same kind of camaraderie, you know? I agree.
They flew the Blue Angels up along the coast of California. Yeah. It was all broadcast. 8 jets as an honorarium for all the medical heroes working in hospitals. This actually took place in California.
I know what you're saying. Thank you, Terry, so much.
Don't talk to me unless you call me hero, Rick. I'm hero.
You're my hero, man. You're my
hero.
All
right, later.
All right. Can't call you a heroine, though. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I think we might have 15 seconds, not much time. Dave in, I believe, Nevada. Hello, Dave, quickly.
Rick, did you see the Donald Trump speech yesterday?
No, I don't watch it. I can't watch politicians.
No, I understand, but he said something very interesting, and the Department of Defense was there, and he was saying this vaccine on Operation Warp Speed,
I heard all about it.
And he said something interesting at the
Czar too. Boy, how quickly he can adapt though, from day to day.
Oh yeah.
Put your faith in God, not men, and not Trump. Okay, thank you, Dave, for that
last word.
We're out of time. Great show today. Thank you for your comments and your feedback and Facebook page. Rick Adams, God willing, next week. Till then, Yahweh bless his elect.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.